You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
All right, let me turn my phone to manner mode. Let me turn my children to mute.
All right, let's get this going. I'm missing Game of Thrones for this.
You're missing Game of Thrones for this?
Well, I have an HBO Now subscription, and it's on anytime, really. Although I heard the first four episodes leaked, so it doesn't really, matter. But I want to do this legit, so.
So wait, so you can watch them anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you're doing, you're missing Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's true. But it's available now.
I have watched a few episodes of that show and found it very interesting.
Oh my God. I think it took me well into the second season to even really wrap my head around who the characters were in relation to each other. And then I finally just went back, rewatched the first season with that in mind and went, oh my gosh. And then when I was done with the second season, because that's all that was out at the time, I read the books.
Oh.
Just in time for the third season to start.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
I have been told that it is one of the things most missing in my life is to watch that. So I'll get there eventually. Japan finally got the last season of Breaking Bad, so. But it doesn't matter because it's already been spoiled here. Internet, I know you're listening to me now. Not everyone has seen everything you've seen. Stop posting spoilers.
Should we spoil people on our show then?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. We have not once talked about any of the videos. Well, I guess a little bit last week, but it was just me. So, okay, it's still true. We have not yet talked about any of the videos we've been releasing. And by the time this podcast comes out, we'll be on week 6 out of 10, maybe 11. So, yeah, we've been doing new videos, guys.
Have we? Whoa, checks YouTube.
and the first thing I had
there's no new videos here. There's just promos.
Yeah, right. So there's a new channel on YouTube called Famicom Dojo, which is just Famicom Dojo, weirdly enough.
I had no idea.
Yes. You can still see the promos on That's Orange or Sean Orange, whichever way you get to it. I had one of those old accounts where back in the day you could request your own alias, and that's stuck. You know, it still works, but no one can use that feature anymore. So,
well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sitting here watching this promo, and it says to click through to see the full video, but that just seems like a lot of work.
I don't even want to tell people like how many views like the promos have gotten on Facebook compared to how many people clicked through.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've already gotten one click from these people. What more do you expect?
Not even how many people clicked through, but like how many more people watched the promo than the actual video.
Well, I mean, okay, how many people watched the trailer to a movie as compared to the actual movie in the theaters?
That's a good point.
So
you're saying that our tale is going to be on the disc release.
Yes, yes.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I mean, especially if these don't do so well. I think home video has a bright future. Uh-oh.
Oh, right. Well, these videos, who knows? We're still working on the backlog, getting out the stuff from our 16-bit coverage, but that's something that we are doing, people. We are going, you know, I might as well just get this page started now since we're talking about it. There will be
all
a
right,
Kickstarter. If you go to famicomdojo.tv/Kickstarter, you can get some information there, and then we will, have some way of communicating with you once it is gone live. So either like a mailing address or something, a mailing list, I mean, something will be out there that you will be able to sign up for, and then we will alert you when this is going down. How about that?
I think that's very reasonable.
All right.
Oh, thanks, people who have sponsored us. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been having a little bit of trouble being told about the sponsorships. So given the way that we've decided to do it, so we're working on that. So apologies to everyone who has sent us money, and we haven't mentioned you yet. We just didn't know until you told us. So if there's anyone out there who's donated money and we haven't mentioned it on the show as a sponsorship yet, email us at podcast@famicondojo.tv, and then we will crack the whip and find out what's going
on. And we shall have a sponsored episode next episode.
Yep. So, all right. Well, let's answer a Denchi mail question first and then get into the videos, I guess. Does that sound good?
Let's do it. Okay. Adam Robinson writes, will the Famicom disk system work on an AV Famicom or on an NES 2? Shall I?
Go for it.
Yes and maybe. I mean, definitely it'll work on an AV Famicom. It'll look weird. Because, well, you know, it's a different color scheme. I don't know. I think, but it works fine. Except for, of course, remember, if you're using an AV Famicom, you don't have the microphone on controller 2. So a game like Kid Icarus doesn't allow you to do that feature that you didn't know about anyway until you watched our video. So
actually, we didn't even show that feature. But the Pulse voice feature in Zelda.
Yes. So yes, but I don't know. Frankly, but for the vast majority of games, yeah, it's fine. And then you get the AV out. But if you're going to go through that much trouble, just get a twin.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, you'd need a pin converter to get it to work on an NES.
And even then,
I've heard conflicting reports of whether the enhanced FM sound would work just because of the, you know, it not being built into the hardware of the NES. I'm guessing games would work, but some of them might have sound or graphical errors if they made use of special things for the Famicom hardware. So, I'll go with yes and maybe for that. And so, I'll add in, you're going to spend that much work. You're going to convert the pins. You're going to do all that. Maybe just get a Japanese one. I don't know. They're not that expensive, actually. I guess an AV Famicom is a little bit expensive, but the Famicom itself is not too bad.
Yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, everything's going up in price lately. It's because of all of you. You're taking them all out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Japan is running out.
Me too. I'm on my fourth Famicom now.
Ah, yes. Yes. Mm. Yes. But, oh, there's a video coming up about that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, baby.
There are reasons. So, speaking of videos, we've been doing that thing. We started 6 weeks ago, got at least four to go.
Hooray.
The real big one's coming next week though.
Oh, wait, hold on. When does this podcast come out? Friday? Oh yeah. Next week from the time we are talking now.
Yep. So that'll be April 22nd.
Yes.
The next big one. Oh, it's a doozy. But we pushed it back for a couple of reasons. One, because it was just so much bigger. And then I was just in Midwest Gaming Classic this last week and decided to see if I could find, because I didn't have like the GBA version of Excitebike, and there was a claim that we had heard, that we had seen made, that we couldn't corroborate. So I decided, well, if I'm here, I might as well try to find it. I did find it, and I could not corroborate the claim, so we're going to change the video.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Is it
going to be simple? Simple to
double
over?
It'll be simple.
Okay, good.
Similarly with the turbo file. I have one now, which will be one of the videos we do, but I cannot, again, corroborate the claim. At least this time, it'll be a little more iffy because there might be something I'm just doing wrong, but I can't find any resources about it. But I just don't want to be like a primary source out there for this rumor, so we're not gonna.
But I thought in the scope of that video, we weren't even going into Turbofile.
No, but we mentioned it, and we mentioned that the game is compatible with supposedly, and it's not if it's true, I can't get it to work. So.
Oh no, that's not cool.
Nope. So yeah, lots to look forward to there. This is all about the data recorder for people who are curious. So the promo has been out on our channel for a couple of weeks because at the time we didn't know we were going to have to push it back. But
I'd say this is probably our most epic video to date.
It's literally the longest, at least.
It is syndication length.
It is, yes. If we're actually making a Famicom Dojo TV show, it would pass muster.
Oh man, we really should have made that video like three separate videos and got them out already. Sorry about that, guys. But hopefully you like this. I mean, I don't know. Whenever we release Giant's, you know, videos we work really, really hard on, they get slightly about the same clicks as videos that were like, hey, look what I found in my room videos.
It depends. Like we did the Minus Worlds one, which isn't our most watched one, but it's the most watched one on the channel, on the new channel it is right now. And it's a really good one, but it's not comprehensive enough because immediately upon posting it, people are like, what about the tennis trick? And I'm like, oh, all right, fine.
Well, I mean, I knew about the tennis trick, but I thought that was
out of
the
scope. Yeah.
Beyond the scope of the video, because we want it to be the absolute most comprehensive one for the, you know, the Minus Worlds that you can do with, you know, the trick with the standard game without possibly breaking your hardware. But immediately that's the problem. Our audience is too hardcore for their own good.
Right? Like, why can't we reach the people who don't know anything about this stuff?
I mean, I guess the problem is that our audience is just too hardcore for its own good. I mean, we want people who are, like, learning about the Famicom for the first time, and we also want people who, you know, enjoy the Famicom, but the people who are just learning about the Famicom for the first time, maybe our videos are too dense. I don't know, too much information.
That could be.
And then people who already know about the Famicom already know what we're talking about in the videos and want us to go deeper. So we've hit the target niche of everyone who's listening to us right now.
So I mean,
thank you guys.
Right? Yeah, we do appreciate the feedback because we don't know as much as some of the really hardcore out there, but we are trying to be a gateway to that world. And in the past, I've been making mistakes. Now it just means trying to find the right balance and still occasionally making mistakes.
Hooray!
But let's go through the videos that we've done then. So we've actually been reordering things as we've been going along, and I think for the better. So we started with a Denshi Man, which we haven't done for 3 years, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think. Wait. Was Turtle Tapping a Denshi Mail?
No, the last one was the controller replacement.
Really? That was 3 years ago?
2012. That was part of our last weekly video update that we tried to do.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I like that one though. That one was a lot of fun to do.
That means like Rare Games was like 4 or 5 years ago or something.
Rare Games was in 2009.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was our fifth ever one.
That doesn't seem that long ago. Anyway.
I know, right? Neither of us had kids. Yep. I wasn't even married yet.
I had kids.
In 2009?
Yeah.
No.
Wait. No. not my own. Okay. Anyway.
What?
I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway.
Why aren't you telling me? But yeah, so we did an Denshi Mail about Back to the Future Part 3.
Yes.
It exists. Spoilers.
Which we'd been thinking about we'd been talking about on this podcast, but thinking about even before then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for the second episode ever of this podcast. But yeah, we had both been thinking about it independently since before that, for sure.
I mean, I've been thinking about that since I used to rent that game and be so frustrated by it.
So I actually rewatched the Angry Video Game Nerd like redux about the Back to the Future games because even he felt like he didn't do enough the first time, and he does mention this.
Oh really?
Somewhere in that 20-minute video. So I'm glad that we've excised that one little piece and added our own flair to it.
There we go. James Fletcher writes, what do you do at this point if the drive belt breaks on your Famicom disk system? Would you like to answer this or shall I?
Oh, well, you replace it naturally or have someone replace it for you.
Oh, okay. That's not the answer I was going to give.
Oh.
Mine was cry.
Cry.
Cry. Cry a lot.
Big manly tears. There are ways to get the original drive belt to the original specs, but
yes.
I mean, you still have to do the replacement.
It's tricky. You got to, and the replacement's not that tricky in itself. It's getting the gunk out from the old belt and recalibrating. That's the hard part.
My twin died, and I had that very problem where like it was just the thing just disintegrated, and then what was left on the pulleys or whatever was gross.
All right, I'll find you some bands. I've got them somewhere. They're at my mother-in-law's house.
Well, I'll plug them because they were cool guys and they made my day because I was able to get a copy of Moira Twin B, and I met a guy there actually who had never heard of a Famicom before. And
really?
So rather than just like give him my card and send him on his way, I gave him a DVD and like gave him a quick little rundown, and hopefully I made a fan for life. Strangely enough, when I posted a picture of him, Zach Shipley told me that he used to work with him. So it's a small world.
So Zach Shipley, you failed by working with this guy and never having brought up the Famicom.
Listen to Zach's show in the Top Rocket Choir, by the way. It's pretty cool. So that's plug number one. Plug number two, I believe it was Windy City Games. That does the importing and will actually repair your system. So I brought up to the proprietor there that I was having like disk 22 errors on everything.
Yep. Yep.
You mentioned it's probably a misalignment. Just send it in. We'll fix it for $15 minus shipping, which I'll have to pay for myself.
Yeah.
And
that seems reasonable.
If it's a dry belt issue, they'll fix it for $15 more.
That seems very reasonable.
I'm just concerned about shipping my disk system, especially because he told me he found a Famicom box and it survived low these last 30 years unscathed until the USPS got a hold of it.
Yeah. Oh, the Famicom box, if anybody doesn't know, is the hotel unit.
Yeah, he had the cartridges there. They looked like NES cartridges, but they will not work in an NES.
And the controllers were basically NES controllers, and a zapper was an NES zapper that doesn't work on a regular NES.
That's
it's very
so
strange.
Weird.
I had one. It weighed a lot, like a lot. I sold it for $500-$600. I probably could have got a lot more for it I look back on it.
Now I want to cry.
Yeah, I know. Like at the time, it was just really heavy and in my house. But now I'm like, I think I...
That could have paid for your new house.
Maybe not that much, but I definitely sold it for, because it had 10 cartridges with it. So,
oh wow, sure.
Anyway, yeah, they looked really weird, yellow labels and stuff.
And the carts themselves were black. At least the one I saw, the carts were black.
Yeah, black carts with yellow labels. Anyway.
So
that was their anti-piracy method, by the way, to use NES pinout so people couldn't just throw Famicom cards in there.
Right.
Thanks, Obama. Hold on, I'll find a connection. I'll find a connection.
Calling back to one of our previous episodes, Hillary Clinton finally announced her candidacy. So I guess, you know, we're always wrong about everything. If we say it's not going to happen, it's going to.
Wait, which one did we... Where did we fall on that at the end? That it was going to happen or it wasn't?
I don't remember.
Well, Hillary Clinton, thank you or I'm sorry, depending on what we said. I mean, you're welcome or not.
I mean, I think everyone expected this, so we probably predicted it would happen. Oh, so I think it broke the pattern then. I don't know. Anyway, our videos.
Yes, let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Yes, so we did Back to the Future. That was fun. Vink convinced me that we should put it first in the order since we're coming back from a long absence.
And it was one of the ones we were gonna have next on our list anyway when we were making it. Because you had already recorded most of the video. We were just looking for that Christopher Lloyd-ish thing.
Yes, yes. I actually can't remember if I had recorded it before or went ahead with it after. I don't even remember. I guess it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I was trying to. In fact, most of these were recorded around the same time.
Yeah.
For my part of it.
Yeah.
So the next one.
Well, look, can I give a little tip about worst Christopher Lloyd impersonation ever?
Yes.
If you notice very closely on the thing, you can see a flux capacitor in the background of that video. That is a flux capacitor app for my iPad.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Did you notice it? Look in the background. It's over my, I believe, left shoulder.
No, I noticed that it was there. I didn't realize that it was just an app.
Yeah, it's an app on the thing. And the things that were supposed to be goggles were like two lids from some like IKEA jars that I found, and I couldn't get them to stay in the right place, so I actually taped them to my head.
Oh my god!
But the reflectiveness worked. It kind of worked in the video, and it was some old Garfield necktie I found, and like just a white shirt opened up to look like a lab coat because you don't see the bottom anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most. I mean, you realize what you did to me, right?
No, what?
Well, I mean, you came in, and I mean, obviously, this was not the original plan. You know, I realized that, but you're like, okay, we need you to be Doc Brown, and I'm like, okay, because I look exactly like Christopher Lloyd. You know, I mean, I've never done a Christopher Lloyd impersonation before, and you can tell from the video, and it worked, but on paper it's maybe the stupidest line of dialogue ever. My keys, Sean. Something's got to be done about my keys. I think it works because it's so stupid, and because of that nice little subtitle, not Christopher Lloyd. So no one is under the illusion that we thought we were pulling this off.
Yes, you know? I hope not.
I mean, it wasn't like I looked back at that video and nailed it.
I wish I spent a little more time in the game footage, but we were just really trying to focus in on the actual code, but. See if anyone notices this, like the very brief few seconds that you see footage from Back to the Future Part 2 in that video, the NES one, that's the Super NES one. I actually took the time to demonstrate one of my favorite mechanics of that terrible game, which is that you can get a seed, plant it in the past, like 1955, and then go to 2015, and then use that plant that's grown into like a beanstalk or like a tree or something, and then use that to platform on other things.
It's what?
A clever use of time travel.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
The problem was is that like
the game was terrible.
Yes.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Playing enough of this to like get that to happen was like just felt like it wasn't going to happen. So when like a year ago when I did the footage originally, I just could not figure out how to get this to work. But I was just playing the game out of my own curiosity, trying to figure out how it was supposed to work. And then pull the footage for the actual video. And then during the course of doing that, I accidentally came across one of those seeds. Like there's this, like a specific spot in the map where they generate basically from killing an enemy. And then I was able to luckily also find a place where it would be useful, along all of that, and, captured the video, stuck it in at the last minute, basically, and I'm very happy about it, but it goes by so fast, and if you're not looking for it, you're probably not even going to notice.
I totally didn't notice, but actually, that's really, really cool, and that's possibly the only redeeming quality of that game right now,
right?
In my mind.
Because you get to the Back to the Future Part 3, and there's anthropomorphic cows, and I guess people are supposed to be Native Americans, but they look like... Oh, it's just terrible. I couldn't show more of the game than I did. Anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, our second week, which was going to originally be our first week, was an HD remake of our first episode. Kind of. Not even really. What it's like everything we know so far about the Famicom kind of thing.
It was very compressed, and it was all console speaking.
Spoilers.
Other than whatever.
If you're new to the show,
consoles can't talk. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, other than the original research that went into it, I wasn't really involved in this one, and it kind of was like, what is this? This is kind of like throwing a bone to those people who are like, you guys talk too much.
Why we don't want to see your faces.
And, you know, videos like what? Like, what is it? Console Game Room or something? Or what is it?
Classic Game Room, yep.
Which is a great show. I love that show. You know, I mean, and that's the thing. But much like we aren't Angry Nintendo Nerd, and we aren't This American Life, and we aren't
really
classic, and we aren't Classic Console Game Room, I don't know. I prefer the videos where we kind of do our own style. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I think it's a really good video out there for someone who just wants a real quick primer, and that'll help them understand the rest of our videos. So I think it was a good experiment. If we do another one, I don't know. I want to do a voice or something.
Sure. So this is like the intersection of a bunch of different like pieces of feedback or complaints or just other things that we wish we had done the first time around. Like you mentioned, it didn't have us at all in it. And also we don't have those original videos on the new channel. I think that was the biggest reason. And the reason for that is because, I mean, maybe YouTube will be nice to us and they'll port them for us, but I've only heard of that happening in one anecdotal instance, and I don't think we're big enough to make that kind of request. And I don't think that just uploading those videos to this channel would help necessarily. So we tried to do this. And also they were like open questions from our original video, like why does channel 96 correspond to channel 2 and 95 correspond to channel 1, and actually did the research for it. And it turns out that there's a whole swath of frequencies missing from the NTSC spec in America, because those are radio frequencies for, like, you know, audio broadcast.
Makes sense.
So if you, depending on where you live, if you try and use channel 95 or 96, you might get some interference on your picture.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
Right. So that's why I stopped doing capture from the original Famicom, where I've been able to help it.
Yeah.
Is for that very reason. And getting it from my AV Famicom instead, or more often than not, the twin, which has the microphone too, Pro 2 microphone in it.
Soon you're going to have another option. Okay.
Right. Well, yes. Because I don't
have a power adapter
for my twin.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun to do though. It's also one that's performing the best right now out of everyone that's been released so far.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of effort that went into it, and, I'd love for feedback. I mean, is that the type of video you hope we do more of? I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, we have like VinkCon, which is no information whatsoever, you know. But
only us. Well,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, oh, you were in that one.
Oh well, unbeknownst to me at the time.
But anyway, speaking of that, your footage there is a tease as well. So
yes.
Keep watching Winter Dojo. Is it still winter? Although my dad sent me a picture that he just made a snowman yesterday, and I'm like, isn't it like April? You know,
right?
Come on, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was actually feeling kind of bad for a while because we kept getting cold weather, and we even got snow last week.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I didn't curse Wisconsin, did I?
You did, because you said Winter Dojo will be this winter, and you have caused Well, I think I might be hinting at another video that... Are you doing that one still, or...?
I don't know which one.
About how many weeks of winter are left?
Oh, yeah, that should be up already.
Okay.
On the Family Town Dojo channel as the 5 more weeks of winter.
What is really interesting is Sean and I both independently had this idea at around the same time.
Yes.
And I proposed it to him as an idea, and he went, "I already thought of that." And I was just like, "Yeah, whatever." Take credit for my idea. But then I saw that he had actually posted something like that. So nope. Very, very. So great minds think alike. Either that, or it's a too obvious joke. Anyway,
yeah, I think it is too obvious. I mean, we already made the Game of Thrones joke in the first one.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
not in the first version of the first one. It took a couple of variations, but yes. So our third video, which is going to be our second one, which is going to keep happening. I'm sorry.
Wait a second. Mike Windsor writes.
Oh, sorry.
Do you enjoy Metal Gear Solid? You want to answer that one? The orange.
I have not played it except for the capture. Wait, sorry. The original Metal Gear.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, let me back up for a second.
Okay.
The original Metal Gear I played long enough to capture that one clip, which ended up getting used in our first episode.
Yes.
Of
Snake.
A demonstration of how the microphone works. Yes.
Yes.
And then Metal Gear Solid, I only didn't even play myself. I watched someone else play the GameCube remake
and declare it was terrible. Wait. Isn't your whole persona based on The Orange, which is the name of a box in that game?
No, not based on that box. I got that name well before. Well, I guess not well before, because it was the end of the 90s.
Yeah.
Mm.
Really? I always thought that the Orange was based off the cardboard box in Metal Gear Solid.
Nope.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
Really?
I have been wrong for a long time. Like, that is... Wow.
How many people have you told?
Anybody I talk to. Why is it called The Orange? It's that box in Metal Gear.
Oh my god. No.
And I haven't played Metal Gear Solid. Oh. Except I played about halfway through the first disc on my Dreamcast using Bleemcast.
Oh, well, you're a bad man.
What do you mean I'm a bad man? What is wrong with Bleemcast?
I guess if you actually have the games.
Yeah, I played the real game.
As opposed to burning them.
No, I suppose Bleemcast would work with burns, but PlayStation games are incredibly hard to burn, actually, compared to Dreamcast games. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Bleemcast was the PlayStation emulator for Dreamcast, and it only supported three different games. The actual releases: Tekken 3, Gran Turismo 2, and Metal Gear Solid.
Okay. Well, there.
But
you
go. But yeah, so I played it, and I watched someone play the GameCube remake. And the dialogue was pretty bad, but I thought it looked cool. I thought it was a cool game. I would like a copy of that these days, but it's so expensive now. Wow, that's not the answer I thought when I was asking this question. I was going to go, I haven't played it so much, but Sean's a big fan. In fact, he even named himself after a cardboard box in the game.
I should probably play this game now so I can make that claim. Anyway, so our next video.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Next video.
Our next video was one that we had wanted to do since we started this show.
Okay.
Do you remember which one this is?
No.
All right. Video number three was our Duck Hunt video.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it originally the old man was going to explain this?
I think so. So
I think he was going to be like, "You kids today, you don't even know that you can control the ducks and flam, blah, 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 spinach." Yeah, but
flam. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But then the old man did not catch on like the wildfire I expected him to. So
we still could have done it.
We could have.
The old man is coming back, by the way, everyone.
The old man comes back a lot recently, maybe just to spite people who don't like him. I don't know.
I mean, we barely tolerate him.
You know, there's that character. There's the, Homestar Runner.
Yeah.
They've got like Fluffy Puff Marshmallows or something, or.
Strong Sad?
No.
Oh, the other guy. Yeah.
No. They've got commercials that air in occasionally.
Yes.
For Fluffy Puff Marshmallows and also they did that episode like Tape Leg. Now both of these were greeted with like universal like scorn or whatever. So they keep getting brought back up all the time. Like
yeah.
Because the creators liked it and they kept it in. So that's our old man segment. Yes.
Yeah, the original version of this video, I actually kind of forgot to actually explain how the heck this thing works.
Yeah.
and so it was more like a skit than it was a Famicom Dojo video, and I showed it to you and you
but how do you do it?
Oh. And then of course, you know, not to be outdone, one of the viewers wrote in, it's like, oh, you didn't mention how this works with the two ducks mode, and I'm like, I didn't even try it.
It does.
It changes the formation, I guess, when you
Yes. Yeah.
So there you go. Listen to the podcast. You learn more things.
And I thought I was going to be the guy who was like laughing. I didn't realize because I have that exact same T-shirt and I thought you were using archive footage.
Wait, what? Which T-shirt?
The Nerve T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Phil Baum was wearing that one.
The face is covered up enough and I watched it on my smartphone. So I thought you had put me into it from an old photo. And then I realized it wasn't me.
You weren't even in it at all. Sorry.
I wasn't even in the video at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I filmed this around the last time a season of Sherlock was airing, which is hence the Sherlock joke.
Yep. Yep.
And Phil Bond had temporarily moved elsewhere. So there was no way to do any kind of pickup footage after we learned that we needed to do more work.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of other issues too, but I had like kind of written the script out in a moment of fever madness, which is like how the first episode of the show came about too, actually.
Yes.
Because I was trying to do like a much more serious version, and then I was just like, all right, I'm gonna do this smooth things here. The consoles are gonna talk. just forget it.
The original Famicom Dojo was going to be a lot more serious, but we enjoyed ourselves too much.
Oh man. So, brought back the multiple Sean's, brought back, Phil, cause I was in a, this is when I was moving. So I was like in between houses. I literally did not have access to a CRT. So
my favorite line in that whole thing is that, did you know that you can, and Phil Bond goes, really? And you like go, you didn't know that? Of course I knew that. I thought we were just doing it. Who are we talking to?
Yeah, it's a little meta too. So it's just silly. I love it personally, but it's a
fun little video. I of course hate it.
Because you're not in it.
Because I'm not in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we've
been talking about doing this particular video for, well, not this particular video, but the subject since the show started.
Yep.
And 8 years later, almost 8 years later.
All right.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
We shall move on.
Okay. Keith Robinson writes, I've seen adapters that allow you to play NES on an SNES. How do they work and what is the compatibility like? Well, I don't really know about NES to SNES, but I know that they make these for Super Famicom that allow you to play Famicom carts. And what it is it's basically, it has its own AV outputs built into the cart, actually. So basically, it's not using any of the SNES hardware other than the controllers. Mm-hmm. And it's because it basically has the NES on a chip, chip inside of it. It's basically the system itself. All it's doing is grabbing power from your Super Famicom and I believe the controller buttons, but it's not actually using any of the graphic or sound hardwares of the thing. And compatibility is about on par with other Famiclones. So I don't use one.
And the reason the controllers work is because the Super Famicom controllers were designed to be fully electronically compatible with the Famicom controllers. Did you know that?
I knew that because originally it was going to be backwards compatible.
They kept that part in there. But there's more to it than that. It's something that we'll get to hopefully for our Kickstarter.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, yes. All right. There is so much to say about that. Okay. We will not say more yet. But our next episode, and it's one that I just did it because it was on my mind. We captured the footage when Phil bought his Wii U.
Yep.
So I was just chomping at the bit. Champion, sorry. If you say chomping at the bit, it's wrong. It's champion. Horses champ at the bit. Anyway, I'm going to be a pedantic jerk like that. I really wanted to finally use this footage, and you know, here I was ready to go, and oh, this story is so sad. I wrote the script around it where I'm presenting the information. Very silly. Again, no Vink. But I just kind of wanted to get it out there. I have complaints about the entire transfer process, but I wanted to be sure that if anyone did it, that they would avoid certain pitfalls. And that was kind of my, so it's not the typical train your game type of thing that usually do, but
that video to me looks just therapy going on. I mean, like, you have made this other video like, don't do this, and this video is like, I'm gonna do this, but it's not a big deal. I mean, it's really you're like warning people several times through, like you moved from one house to the other and switched jobs and everything else with far less trepidation than it was to move your data from one unit.
I know,
to the other.
I still haven't done it. Still haven't. And yeah, so what's so sad about this is that I've tried three times now to make that companion video about why you shouldn't do it. But because so much has changed since the Wii U launched, the information has changed. So like my arguments aren't really valid anymore.
They never were valid.
Fine. I don't want to repeat what I said in the actual finished companion vlog to this. Yes, it's out there.
Watch it so you can listen to Sean's paranoia.
And that is on the Sean Orange channel. So
yes, it is. So subscribe to both of them.
Yes, this is why you keep on doing that, because there's always more content. Yep. Yeah, there's not much more we can say about that one, I don't think.
Nope. All right. Okay. Let's move on. I don't want to do any more questions.
Okay. So the next one, we were supposed to do Data Recorder, but like I mentioned, but then we switched it up a bit. So instead, we did a video that I don't remember when you even filmed this. It was recently.
It's not that recent. It was back in November.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I thought I'd lost the footage because I was looking for it when I was editing this together, and I'm like, I must have done this after I got back from America after Christmas. So I'm looking and I can't find it. I'm like, oh no, I lost the footage. I was just about to ask you for it. And then I went all the way back to November. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Nice. Well, November was when we were like heavy into the production, post-production phase all of this stuff. So that was, yeah. So I think of this block of time as all this like one synchronous moment in my life, so even though it was like 5 months ago.
I mean, I meant it to be your standard on the go video, which is supposed to be done in one take. I mean, all the others have pretty much been done in one take, you know, and no cuts, because they're supposed to be, you know, simple form videos. But this one had a lot of like weird 3DO loading time in, and I needed to cut some of that out, but some of it I was talking through the loading time. I actually lost a couple pretty good jokes
by cutting out
loading time. But it was weird because it was like 30 seconds of just the screen. And when there's no picture on the screen, you see a reflection of me in the screen talking to it. It's too weird. I left one of them in because one of them was really funny. But but
that made it into the promo.
Yes, it made it into the promo. But there were several ones like that. You can kind of see where the loading was. 3DO does not load that fast. I should point out, because if you're looking at the game with all the cuts in, you're like, wow, 3DO loads pretty fast. No, it doesn't. I just cut that out and the dialogue I was making. But one of them, I had a line that I was telling about what the game was going to be, that you beat up this old guy. And I didn't want to cut that, but there was nothing going on screen at that time. I was like aimed at like part of my table. So I decided to add a subtitle, which just said, don't do that. And then I was like, wait a minute, subtitles, those are easy to put in. I'm going to put subtitles in all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of subtitles in that video, which have a little bit of, you know, additional information that I learned afterwards. I found out that Wikipedia is wrong.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No, but not just Wikipedia, but pretty much every site has like quoted either Wikipedia, or I think Wikipedia quoted a Sega site or something. But they're talking about these Guilty Gear disc variations for the mini disc, and they're like, "There's three of them," and I'm like, I'm looking and I'm like, "I have four of them." In front of me now, because they're labeled Type A, Type B, Type C, Type D. And they were saying C was quite rare, and I think it is because I don't have one anymore. But, you know, I've seen, you know, you see it on the internet. But I have all the way up to D, so there's at least four, and there might be more. I don't know.
What are the rules in original research on Wikipedia? Can we cite our own video as a source, or does someone else have to cite our video for us?
I don't know, nor do I know if a video can even be cited.
Well, can we put in the show notes for the video?
If we put in the show notes for the video and we... gosh, I don't know. I have to look into that.
Okay.
But I find don't trust Wikipedia, guys. There's so much wrong with there, especially when it comes to a lot of the import stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Well, there's so... But the thing is, there's so much about the import stuff that there is nothing available in English. It's just...
Right.
Like your turbo file that you're running into right now, the problem is there. So. But anyway, but yeah, it was an easy video to make. It represents obsession. I'm now up to 12 copies of Samba de Amigo, and they don't even have variations. I just feel so bad when I see one in a store. They're just sitting there.
Need to give it a good home.
There's no Maraca controllers there, you know? So I'm like, oh, come home with me, Samba de Amigo. Because they're usually really cheap because, you know, there's, if you don't have the controllers, there's little reason to own one. And the controllers are quite expensive and rare, you know?
Actually, last time I was there, I bought a pair that worked pretty well that weren't that expensive.
Well, much, much cheaper than in America, but like, they're not common to find.
Right.
And plus, if you're only going to buy one Samba game, Samba 2000 has all the original songs in anyway, so.
Yes, in a much better friendship mode.
Yeah.
Romance? I don't remember what they call it. Couples mode. That's what it is, yes.
But anyway, which is a great game, but I don't know. It's one of those games I pick up. Another one is Guilty Gear because I'm trying to get all the different disc art, and some of them also had stickers in which had variations.
Oh man,
I know. Well, Guilty Gear is such a great game. Oh, I wish that one would have come out in the States. I really think people would have enjoyed that a lot.
Is this the first time we've done anything with 3DO? I want to say yes.
Yeah, I think so. Which is weird because I'm quite the 3DO fan, actually.
Should we plug 3DO to go? I mean, I guess I just did.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, this was brought up when Shay was at our live recording at Dice Show Con for episode 112, I believe it was. And you promised you sent him some games. I don't know if that's happened yet or not.
I did. But... I sent him three games, and I've heard nothing since then.
Oh,
and Trey, Oh my gosh, this will be the first time I actually say this. Trey, I know you're listening.
That is true.
because unlike when I call out a company, I really think probably you actually are listening. No rush.
Well, if you want, I'm pretty sure those videos are still up.
Yeah, they are, and they're good. They're
pretty
good.
Sure
too.
They are. Yes, I enjoy 3D Audigo.
They are filmed right to the TV, and I don't know, probably right now he's got something to capture probably better, but frankly it feels CRT-y.
Yeah,
so
he has
I like
philosophical
it. I like
reason for not doing it, and I don't know, I think it still works.
Yes.
So
but some really good commentary on, and it saves me the time of having to play some of those games.
If you don't want to wait for season 2 of 3DO to go, you can also listen to his podcast, Nerd and Ty, which is about geeky things in the world. Kind of like the old Palletcast was, but, you know, listenable.
Wow. Ouch. Ouch.
I say that as I think the second longest running host of that podcast. So
yeah.
But, oh, man, like I happened to listen to an episode that was like about the first episode of like Matt Smith's run as the Doctor.
Yeah.
And like there was this thing called Vortex of Monsters, and we all thought that was the name of the first episode of the season, and we kind of ripped on it that way because no, it hadn't aired yet. Like, you know, we hadn't seen the 11th Hour, which is the actual first episode of the season.
Yep.
And sorry. Anyway, also being big into the anime convention scene, having, you know, helped out there.
Yep.
Once or twice or five times. They do a lot of news about that as well, about the kind of goings on behind different conventions because they know whereof they speak. And I appreciate that.
Yep. So check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes.
So last but not least is our sixth week, but we're actually recording this before that video comes out, so I don't even know which one it is.
Let's do the time warp again.
Well, let's wait then, since it's only have been out a few days.
Yeah,
since.
We got a lot. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Okay, so I should talk very briefly then, I guess, about Moas Gaming Classic, because I plan on doing a vlog about this, too. I went there again, as I do every year for the last 3 years. I think before that I had, there's a Moas Gaming Classic special I did for 2009. And I think that was my first time going. And I was vending for Rising Stuff at the time.
Oh,
and
yes.
I don't think I went back again until 2013. Is that right?
I went to the second ever Midwest Gaming Classic. Or was it the first? I don't know. I don't know. I went with Ben, and it was held in like a high school cafeteria.
Oh well, they're at the Brookfield Sheraton.
Yeah, again. I saw it. Looks nice.
But I mean, they've expanded so much they had to put the vendor room in a tent. It's a
really
very large tent. Oh, last year there was a river of water running through the whole thing because that's just how the parking lot had, you know, its runoff work, and there was just a really bad rainstorm that weekend.
Wow.
So that made some people unhappy, but they still did it this year. No rain, fortunately, but it was a very nice day. But so I went there with Phil and Amber, who's been in the videos a few times. It was very fun. I spent most of the time shopping. And got some things for the show. Like I mentioned, the Excite Bike Game Boy Advance cart, but I also got stuff for some future videos for like a multiplayer for Famicom. I picked up more Wisdom Tree games plus a Color
Ooh.
Dreams cart. That's like
Ooh.
A non Wisdom Tree cart.
Nice.
Hold
Which
on.
One?
It's Captain Comic, The Adventure.
You need to get Operation Secret Storm. That's the one to get.
Oh, good Lord.
It's got Saddam Hussein in there.
Of course it does.
Of course it does.
Let me, hold on. I'm going to make my plastic bag noise here. All right. Just let me.
Ooh, plastic bag noise.
Yeah. Oh, I bought. This is really bad to me. I was like so euphoric and not paying attention. I bought like a Sega My Card game. It's Spy versus Spy. It was $25. I didn't realize it when I picked it up. Ooh. I still paid for it. Why would I do that? I don't know. But now I'm curious.
Is it in box?
Yeah.
That's not too bad. Did you know you could play Sega My Cards on a ColecoVision?
I did not.
Well, not a ColecoVision, but like there was a ColecoVision clone released by who's the company that buys Telegames. They released a ColecoVision clone that just for no real apparent reason also played SG-1000 games. And if you had an SG-1000 card catcher, it would work.
Well, all right then. Huh.
Yeah. So there's an American system that could play SG-1000, but it wouldn't play the wouldn't play this game because that's a Master System MyCard, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's US Master System MyCard.
What it wasn't called MyCard in America, was it? It was called something else.
I'm looking at it. Is it called Sega Card maybe?
I think so.
I mean, I'm looking at it.
I don't think it was called MyCard.
Oh my gosh, no wonder I paid so much money for this. All the inserts are here. I didn't even open it up. So just now. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the instruction manual's in here. All the adverts. Well, all right. So I don't feel so bad now. Sorry.
You didn't feel bad before.
I didn't feel bad enough.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just called a Sega card.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fine. I also We didn't cover this game because I couldn't get a copy in time. Blade Eagle 3D for the Sega Scope 3D.
Ooh. Oh, you needed that.
It looks really nice.
I have that.
Oh, I got one now. I might have one already, actually. I might have picked it up since then, but I just thought I'd be safe.
But I have the Mark III version.
The what?
The Mark III version.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Mark III doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't go into much more detail, but the one thing I do want to mention on the podcast because it's neat is on Twitter we were talking to a super fan of and friend of ours. Oh God, is it Alana or Elena? I never know how to pronounce this name.
Retro Gaming Girls.
Yes. She had mentioned that she had found this game, and I recognized Sanma immediately from my time in Japan and watching TV there. And yeah. I actually had to do something for school. I was there about comedians in Japan and Japanese humor. And so one of the ones I had to do the research was Sanma. So I knew he was around in the 80s, and he had a Famicom game called Sanma Meitante.
Oh, Detective.
Yes, not just detective, but great detective. Given the kanji that they wrote, but when I was looking up how to pronounce that, I discovered that there's a homonym for that, which you change the first kanji and it also means inept detective.
I think it would go with either. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So I asked her like, hey, can you post some footage of that? Because when the whole tennis thing came up for the Minus Worlds video, she actually did a quick little demo of that for us as well. And so super, super cool of her to do. And then I just happened to find a copy looking through the Windy Games booth.
You
know, so
I gotta say, if I knew you were looking for one, they're pretty easy to find here.
Oh, it was like $5, so I'm okay. Fine.
Okay. Did you see my Twitter reply?
Yeah. So this created this whole awesome chain of like one-upsmanship, like who had the weirdest Japanese comics in their video games, and ended with the Family Trainer games that you sent me 2 years ago.
But I just tweeted onto that because I have a boxed copy of the second Beat Takeshi game, so I think I might be in the lead right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I didn't even know that existed until she posted that. So we have the first Beat Takeshi game in our fifth ever episode, episode 5.
Microphone roundup.
Yes, and that's because of the microphone capability, which we, again, yes, couldn't practically demonstrate. It's hard to get to. It's a hard game. It sucks.
It is. It.
It's Kusuge.
Okay, yes.
On purpose, though.
Yeah, it's on. It's satire? I don't know. Anyway. So we're basically doing this poker, like, I see your blah 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 and I raise you a if you subscribe to all of our Twitter feeds, because right, that's the only way you know what we're talking about.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot of fun. I'll probably post something to the Facebook page to help
guide people. Why have we not had her on the show yet?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well,
let's fix that.
Let's fix that. Okay. Yeah. You see that, everybody? You talk to us. You tweet at us. Maybe you're a guest on the show.
She has more Twitter followers than we do. Like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Twitter is a cruel beast. And I still don't quite get Twitter. I'm still trying to figure out. I only learned that you got to put a period before the @ if you want other people to see your stuff. Really, really recently, like 2 days ago, you know. And I've been tweeting like mad, and it's just all random. Like, people will ignore things that I thought, hey, this is cool, people on Twitter will enjoy this, and then nothing. And then there'll be something like, I'll take a picture of one of my Laserdiscs. Like, I'm gonna go watch the Laserdisc Pi because it's retro technology. I think a Laserdisc is fitting, and it gets retweeted by Darren Aronofsky, the director of the movie. whereas I do messages that I put out there for all our retro gaming followers on Famicom Dojo that just get ignored, or maybe I just didn't put the period before it. Oh, I don't know how Twitter works.
All right. I think with that, we're good for this week.
Yep.
keep watching our sweet, awesome stuff. We got, like I said, at least 4 more weeks. Next week will be the data recorder. Watch it. I had to inform our guest stars that it would be delayed, which they didn't seem too much to mind. But
guest stars.
Plural. So good. All right, then. I guess then, until next time, the dojo is
trying to solve the murder mystery that Sanma is somehow involved in.
That can't be good.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at famicomdojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.